I want to talk about fellowship today. I thought, what am I going to cover this week? And I thought, well, you know, we always talk about it's time for us to have fellowship. Well, what does that mean? So I got to thinking about it and start going through the scriptures. It's much deeper than you think, and it's very important. And it actually, as you'll see, has even a prophetic side of it, if you will, when you talk about fellowship. So that's what we're going to be talking about here today. Fellowship from here comes from the Greek word, can mean partnership, or literally, you know, participation, social intercourse. We're going to have fellowship or participation. We're going to be in partnership today during services, and then after services, we have the thing for the youth thing, and then we're going to have potluck. So it's that story. It doesn't sound very exciting at first. Communion or distribution or fellowship. You say, what do I mean distribution? Well, remember in the Jerusalem church received the distribution from the other churches during the time of the famine. They actually received fellowship, if you want to take it technically. They received fellowship from the other churches to help them through the famine when they received food. So fellowship basically is natives of the same town. That's another way from the Greek. I mean, so hello, natives. We're natives of the same town or natives of the same church. I think you'll see that. They have many things in common. Now, let's go to Leviticus 6. Leviticus 6 and verse 2, what you have on the screen in front of you is the new, this is the English Revised Version, I guess it is. And when you read it in the King James, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. That's why sometimes I think the King James, you know, lacks in some of those areas, because we don't speak like that. Where is it? Song of Solomon. He's really sparking this young lady, and he says, "Every time I see you, my bowels move." Well, that, okay. That means something today that it didn't mean 3,000 years ago in that culture. So, anyway. I'll read it to you from the Leviticus 6:2 from the King James. If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor. Now, that's not too bad. The old King James is a disaster. But here's from this one. Now, we're catching the thought in the middle, but I want to show you here. You are guilty of sin against the Lord when you do anything, when you lie about what happens to something that you're supposed to be taken care of for someone else. And when you lie about that, in the Hebrew says you break fellowship. You break fellowship. When you lie about the deposit that they received, for example, when you steal something, when you cheat someone, you're out of fellowship, not only with the person you're dealing with there, but you're out of fellowship or companionship or communion with, in this case, the person you're dealing with, but also God. You're out of communion or out of fellowship with God. Again, the key thing to keep in mind here about fellowship is it's having something in common, a community that has something in common, and that's why it's so important not to forsake assembling of yourself together, because that helps us to stay in the community. We are a community. Sometimes people have criticized churches that meet every Sabbath as a social club, so that's not what they're supposed to be, and I don't think that's what we are. But to a degree, we are a community that revives and restores each other through proper fellowship, because we have all these things in common with each other after being all week long outside when we don't really have that much common. And especially like when you go through the end of the year with all the holidays, it's nice to see someone who is, what we'd say, like-minded. And if you're like-minded, you're in fellowship because you have these things in common. Well, I saw that, thought that was kind of neat. We are a community. We're a family. We say that we are a community of believers, and a unique community in that what we believe in many respects is different from so many others. And because of that, we enjoy, we need that fellowship. Because in this community, we build one another up. And there's so many, like Dan was saying with his message, there's so many other verses you could go to. And I you know, they're coming to my mind, you know, about fellowship and the importance of it. But we're going to just take this from one angle here. This is Ephesians 2 and verse 19, and I'm glad our machine seems to be working today. He says, I have made you a member of my own household. This is again from a modern King James, a modern translation. And I'll read it to you out loud so maybe help you to see the idea. We are a part of a household. What household? See, we hear these terms, but do they really strike us? Are they really important? And the thing to keep in mind, again, too, is how important when we're in fellowship with each other, how important that is to each other and for each other. If we were just to be the living room church of God, no matter how hard you try not to, you would drift. You would drift. And then you become more and more and more isolated. And if you become more and more isolated, then what happens is you can start coming up with your own notions, your own ideas. And that can, you know, obviously lead to disaster. Now, if you don't have any other fellowship nearby, technology certainly has helped us with that. It seems like as our bodies give up, technology increases. so that's an important thing. But we need each other because we believe the same. All right? So I've made you a member of my own household, God says. So he says, I'm welcoming you into my household. And we have fellowship because we have so much in common. You go, what? Because we're human and we're sin, yes. But we have a lot in common with God. And he says, you're into, welcome into my household. It's another word that can also be used fellowship. Coming into fellowship, if you will. Not directly, but implication. Okay, Ephesians 2. Verse 19, it says here in the King James, you're probably reading it, our New King James anyway. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. King James draws it out a little more, but you come to that same, he's of course talking to Gentiles here. And then they're coming into the community and they're giving up their pagan ways and therefore they have more and more in common with Christianity. And Jews had to unlearn a lot of things too to enter into that community. So it's that having things in common. Well, let's go to Philemon 1. There's all kinds of fellow. When you talk about fellow, you talk fellowship, fellow workers, fellow slave, fellow prisoner, fellow servant. I think I may have said that one already. And in this case, he talks about it in verse 1. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. So we have there some people working. So fellow laborer, they have the gospel in common. They're working together. They have the same belief. They're doing these things. Now remember, that's why God has said in the scripture, do not become unevenly yoked with an unbeliever, because you really can't have that kind of fellowship. You're going to have a certain level, but you're not going to have that kind of fellowship if you marry outside your faith, because that common thing that should be so important to us, you don't share. And therefore, you really don't have fellowship like that in the way you should. Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. 4 and verse 10, Colossians 4 and verse 10. Aristarchus, our fellow prisoner, this guy was in prison with Paul, greet you with Mark, the cousin of so forth and so on and so forth. But he's saying here, I'm writing to you in prison, and this guy is one of the prisoners with me. They have a fellowship that's very unique. If you talk to men, who've been in battle, even though they may not have been in the same battle together, but they've been in different battles, maybe even different wars. You get older people together or whatever, and they're And like you heard, a true veteran doesn't talk much about what he's done. It's just too traumatic, and why bother with it? But the point is, there is a companionship, a brotherhood there that just can't be explained. They've gone through that crucible of death and fear and blood and pain that no one else who's not gone through can't understand. So they have can we use the term fellowship in a very unique way. So it's a community. Let's go to Isaiah 26. So we're talking about communities. And the church of God is a community. Now, it's built up of separate congregations spread out all over creation. They may even have different fellowship names. But if we believe the same thing, then we're still really, in the broad sense of the term, that community. All right, Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We'll see what day that will be. We have a strong city, these are the words of the song. God will appoint salvation for the walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation will keep the truth may enter. See, the righteous nation that keeps the truth may enter. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This is a mind of individuals and collectively as a nation that is yet in the future, who have now entered into fellowship. And they've entered into fellowship with God. Of course, it starts for us coming into fellowship as God calls us, and we find a congregation of like-minded people, and we begin to grow in that way and have that fellowship, which is so important. We've mentioned this before, I think, but if you've ever... It hasn't happened here, I don't think, when we maybe had two or three Sabbaths in a row canceled for the weather. It just seems like forever since the last time we were there. Why? Because you need that fellowship. So hopefully when you think about fellowship, I need to be around like-minded people. I need to enter into that, just get in that environment where I can kind of let my hair down and be, you know, from a spiritual perspective, I don't have to be kind of, careful if you say or don't say something. I think you see what I mean. Now, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship. Now, see, we spent some time talking about you and I have been called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we not only have fellowship with each other, but fellowship with God. Again, fellowship is we have things in common. And that means if you're converted, you're God's Holy Spirit. So that's a huge part of entering into fellowship with Jesus Christ. So we enter that fellowship and we have more and more in common with him. And that's why, again, all these phrases hopefully start jumping at you. Now we're in the household of God. And we're in the fellowship. We'll see not only of Christ, but of the Father. So you and I share a relationship that's based upon commonality with God Almighty. Now we're certainly not close to what he is, but because we are trying, because he's granted us understanding, because he's given us his Holy Spirit, he understands our limitations, but he accepts, you have enough in common with me. I want you in my household. I want you to enter into fellowship with me, and from there we'll grow together. Well, we'll grow with him. Steadfast in the faith. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Did anybody have this water? Or was this put up there? Did you have some water? Oh. 1 Corinthians 10. Oh, I'm almost there. Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Don't have these things in common. That's why we don't observe the traditional holidays, because of their pagan traditions and where they come from. That's another thing to keep in mind that could be kind of strong if you're talking to your neighbor. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord, verse 21, and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and be take a table of demons. You can't mix the religions, and we've talked about that. 2 Corinthians. So we are in fellowship with God right now. You and I have fellowship because we have so much in common with God. And I realize, well, you think about us and God, what do we have in common? But we have enough in common. God says, I want you to be in my household. You are considered part of the household of God. In a broad sense, the church is called that. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unevenly yoked, I referred you to this, together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? See, there's that word again. See? What do you have in common? Even the margin will read that. What do you have in common? What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion? Now, even the word communion really stems from the same Greek word, which means fellowship. He's using it in the same verse. With light and dark. See, they're inconsistent. They're inconsistent. So that's why we say, that, well, more importantly, God says, marry within the faith. And as you, those of you who are married within the faith, it's still hard work. I've been trying to get Lisa straightened out for years. Alright. 2 Corinthians 8:4. I speak not commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. I'm not sure I got the right verse here. Oh, I'm looking at 8:8. That's where I'm going wrong. I've got 8:4 written there. Okay, let me start in verse 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us. I referred to this to you already. And with such urgency that we would receive the gift and fellowship. See, they wanted to share the food that the brethren in Jerusalem needed, and that in itself is an act of fellowship. So, you know, sometimes we hear something from Mr. Kubik or whatever, somebody needs glasses in some African country or whatever, and we participate, maybe we give some money or we have some old glasses or whatever it may be. I think it was the last thing we did, some glasses we gave. We were actually entering into fellowship with them. See? So the word fellowship is quite deep. You know, when I started looking in, I go, wow, there's a whole lot of information, and we're just scratching the surface here. The gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. If I just read what I have on my computer, it'd be all right. Acts 2:42-45. This is the New International Version. Acts 2:42-45. They devoted themselves. This is the early, right here in Acts 2 is when Pentecost occurred and the people were given God's Holy Spirit. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to what? Fellowship. They had all these things in common. They had now a common belief that they knew who the Messiah was. They had repented. They went into a relationship with God at a whole new level. To the breaking of bread, they would go to each other's home and eat. Now, it wasn't convenient, as you know, but it was they going to eat a meal. And prayer. So now they could enter into prayer together, as they couldn't really with their other Jewish brethren, because almost all these people would be Jews at this point. In their prayers, they could be thanking God in their prayers that now they know who the Messiah is. They've accepted Christ as their Messiah. And together they could do that. And as you know, in the early days, Christian Jews would also go to the temple and worship with non-Christian Jews. They didn't do that there. They didn't, in the middle of the temple, thank they're thanking for God for the Messiah was more of a private matter. But when they were with others of like mind in that fellowship, they would rejoice. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, which actually in the long run came back to bite them when the famine came. At least that's been the theory. They sold property and possessions to give them to everyone who needed. And again, it's okay, but after a while, you run out of money, and you run out of assets, and so that somehow that, at least has been speculation, that perhaps that's why the brethren were in Jerusalem were in such need. But the Gentiles years later said, look, we get to share in coming to Christ through their work. Let us share by bringing the food to them. Ephesians 3:9. Now this is, I want to go there and we'll emphasize this section here, but I want to do a little bit more. Ephesians 3. I'm going to start in verse 8 and we'll come to verse 9. To me, who is less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. The grace of being a minister, a calling given to go out to the Gentiles, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And what a, yeah, it was a blessing, but it was a tough way of life. And to make all people see what is the fellowship. There's that word again. Now again, in the margin, you read stewardship. Okay? What is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ. So he says, I have this opportunity now to take this truth and share it with people, and as they understand it and enter into relationship with God, we now fellowship with them. That whole thing. And this is he says it's marvelous. To the intent that now the manifold of the many-faceted wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities, powers, and heavenly places. And we've covered that before, but it is interesting that the church, as we fellowship with God and learn to do that in a better and better way, and learn to fellowship with each other in a more mature and spirit-inspired way, the spirit world, both good and evil, is learning. One is being witnessed to as, you're wrong. The other is learning, wow, but watch these people. These little flesh and blood things that live for a few decades and then die. And they're teaching. We're teaching them. They're getting to see God's way work. And, of course, the demonic side hates it and they're not excited about it. In fact, they're angry about it. But see, this point is, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God. God had this plan. He's revealed it to us. We've accepted it. And anybody who does that enters into that community and enters into fellowship. 1 John 1:3. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard. Again, let me just stop there. It's important. Is it cold, anybody? Okay. 1 John is written, and the Gnostic view is out there. I know you probably get tired of hearing this, but the Gnostics believe that spirit was good, flesh is bad. Therefore, as a Christian, you can't really have God's Holy Spirit, so, you know, forget it. So they're undermining the whole principles of Christianity. But he says here, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. These very definitive physical terms. That you also may have fellowship with us. Why would he use the word fellowship? So that you'll have this faith in common with us. We have this belief in common. That's why you see the word fellowship. Think about it. So we have this same common doctrine, belief, conviction. And he says, I want you to have fellowship with us. Don't believe that other Gnostic information that spirit is good, flesh is bad, so therefore you can't have God's Holy Spirit in your mind. And our fellowship, there it is again, is with the Father and with the Son. So we have fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ because we have so much in common. You may be, again, think about that. You and I have enough in common that God says we've entered into fellowship with Him. We have the Holy Spirit. We've repented. You know, and we have we're flexible and want to learn. But it is interesting. We've entered into fellowship with one another, but also with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So that's why we pray and ask God to be with us, because we want Him. We're the same mind. Come in here and fellowship with us. See, come in and fellowship with us. Now, 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and that there it is again. It's all over in there, isn't it? Fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Now, the fellowship is through the Holy Spirit with that common mind. See, we have the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. It gives us the mind of Christ. It's also the mind of the Father. And so that mind, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is working in us, and it's in all of us. What does the verse say? The opposite side. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Psalms are kind of odd way of putting it. Psalms 133. Many of you longtime members, what do you think when you see this psalm? This is Armstrong's favorite scripture. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Because why? Because they're a fellowship, a community. Again, you just can't, I don't think, overemphasize. And that's why folks who don't have a fellowship because maybe they're sick and the like, they suffer for that. Because they don't have the kind of fellowship that we like, that they would like. But we do have Skype and all that side. That, see, they get to fellowship with us. Chamberlain was there tormenting them earlier during the, so they feel like they're part of us. So, but if you're just sitting there at home and all you have is maybe a booklet, and of course it's fine, and a Bible, that's great. But you don't have any fellowship with anybody, either through the phone or through the computer or flesh and blood. You can begin to just drift because you need to be around like-minded people. Matthew 27, 53. So never underestimate how important it is that we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. Now my mind's starting to work. Okay, Matthew 27 and verse 53. And coming out of the graves after his, so these people, the notable people are coming out of their graves after Jesus has been resurrected. So let's just back up here and go to verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. We've talked about the symbolic meaning of that. Now we can enter into fellowship, not just once a year with the high priest doing it for us. You and I, we've already been to the third heaven. We've been to the throne room of God when we were in prayer. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And this is actually God was fulfilling a prophecy here. And it says here, and the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection. So after Jesus was resurrected, these guys came out of their graves. After his resurrection, they went into the city and appeared to many. Now what would be the point? Notable peoples, it says, why would it be notable people be resurrected, and then and everybody knew they died. Maybe you attended the funeral or whatever. And it's, again, witnessing, God resurrected me back to physical life. That same God who did that resurrected Christ to spirit again. And that's important because we're going to see some verses that talk about our future. Philippians 3, verse 10 through 12. This is from the NIV again. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his suffering. Now we're going to know the power of his resurrection when Jesus comes back, and if we're dead, we come out of our graves. If not, then we'll be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, so forth. But also he says, what kind of power that could resurrect the dead is in us? Because we have that same fellowship. We have the same fellowship with them because we have the same beliefs. Becoming like him in death. We become like Christ. We died at the baptism. We've given up our life to ourselves. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I have entered into fellowship, companionship with Christ through this relationship, through my calling. I have a relationship with the Father. I have a relationship with the Son through the Holy Spirit. He calls me a member of his family. I'm in fellowship with him because of that relationship. And then I'm in fellowship with others who are of the same mindset. And he says, I want that. I want to experience the power of the resurrection. You know, the power of the resurrection is God's Holy Spirit just infusing a dead body and you know, reviving it. Or maybe our physical bodies at the moment just bang that fast. It's all of a sudden we're a spirit being. We've experienced the power of the resurrection. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we've already gone through a type of death in this life. And he says he's pushing on towards that goal. And that means he's in fellowship with God. Philippians 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to go to heaven when we die. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's like our passport is in a vault there. Maybe a bad analogy. And when Christ comes back, he's going to bring the passport with us, and we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Again, this is all an analogy. Follow me. And you had a spirit being, and there's your passport. You're now in here. So, our citizenship is being restored for us, if you will, and again, is in heaven. It doesn't mean we're going to heaven, but it means our citizenship, the paperwork. And what another way of putting it, Christ is in heaven and our citizenship comes through him. Just a lot of different ways, but the citizenship. Citizens have things in common. They have the same love for their country, so they have a type of fellowship. Some of you, not at least I, we've traveled overseas, and just as we've, and I know some of you have as well, and you enjoy your trip, but it's really nice to get back into a culture which is yours, because you feel more of a commonality, shall we say, even a fellowship. Is anybody cold? Now the Bible talks about Jerusalem as the holy city. Let's go ahead and go to a few places there. We'll come back to some of these other things. Let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. You say, what fellowship? And now we're talking about Jerusalem? Matthew 4 and verse 5. The devil took him, this is Christ, this is the temptation of Christ. The devil took him up into the holy city, that would be Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And then he says, you know, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off and so you know. But Jerusalem is called the holy city. Now, let's follow that as we go through Matthew 27, 53. I think I already covered that one. So as we have here is Christ in that holy city. 1 Corinthians 1. I'm going to start in verse 4. We're going to end up in verse 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ. That's why you have fellowship with He and His Father. Because He's your brother and we have the same Father. See how much we have in common? That you are enriched in everything by Him in all utterance and knowledge. As you get enriched by Him, you get into a deeper relationship, you get a deeper fellowship with God, to Jesus Christ and the Father. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, you hear that through the Holy Spirit, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, eagerly waiting for the second coming, use the talents and gifts that you have, who will also confirm you to the end. He's going to stabilize you. I believe the same word in the Greek is means to establish or confirm. You to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the final, when Jesus Christ comes back. But God is faithful, by whom you were called into, there it is again, fellowship. And the root word actually means partnership, literally participation or into communion. We've been called into participating with the Son. Enter into participating with the Father by yielding to the Holy Spirit and becoming more and more like Him. And then the importance again, we are here to share that with each other and to encourage one another. We're entering into that kind of relationship. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 20. Okay, I've already gone over that one. I'm sorry. Let's move on here. The holy city is where the two witnesses are going to be. You know the prophecies there. I'm not going to take the time to do it. This is the two witnesses will, their dead carcasses will be, in the streets of the holy city, and they won't allow it to be buried because the whole world will be celebrating and glad to see these two guys gone. But just show the concept here that the holy city is spoken of a lot. Even today, what Jerusalem is, but there's something more coming. There's something a lot more coming. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. It says, I saw the holy city. Now we're talking about Jerusalem called the holy city now. But ultimately, at the end of the millennium, there's a holy city, the New Jerusalem. So the holy city is also called the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. So we don't go to heaven. It comes down out of heaven. Remember, our citizenship is stored there, if you will. And here come the passports when all this happens, if I follow that analogy. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. Now they're dwelling together. I didn't have time, but you can look through John 13, 14, 15, even 16. It talks about dwelling together. It's the same implication, fellowship. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit, i.e. God of the Father and Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, fellowships with us. We've already seen that. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. And any more accurately, in them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. Now at this point, God the Father will be here. We will have so much in common with God the Father that now we can be in His presence. Because that the fellowship will deepen and deepen and deepen as we get more and more and more understanding of what God wants and how we are converted and going through that process to where finally we get to be, shall we say, eye to eye with the Father. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's all done, the old way of life. And it all starts with entering into fellowship with God now. And that entering into fellowship with God now is initiated by God. He even gives us the desire to want to do right. Because we're by ourselves, we can't do that. So we, as we enter into this relationship or this fellowship with God and with each other, it is in itself a prophecy looking forward to the time that we're talking about here. Revelation 21, this is just sort of an artist's rendition of what John on the Isle of Patmos maybe saw. It's hard to get a real representation, but the guy had short hair, so I used it. It's so hard, you can't, you know, if you try to find something with Jesus with short hair, you're not going to find it. It comes from the Middle Ages, and it's a throwback, and you're not going to let go of that. Revelation 21, and verse 9. And one of the seven angels, who had seven bowls filled with seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come, and I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, so we come down here to verse 10, which we're looking at. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And this is that final aspect of it. because you get to Revelation 21, the plan that we know of is coming to completion. Now, there, I'm sure, this is just me talking, there's a lot more to the plan. I don't think it just stops at Revelation 22. Okay, we don't have anything else to do. No, there's, but we probably can't even begin to grasp those things. So he's seeing this vision, and this is sort of an artist rendering of it, having the glory of God, and her lights were like most precious stone, jasper stone, clear as crystal, the streets and so forth. And this is, and then we'll talk about what in more detail here. Verse 12, and she had a great and high wall with 12 gates. Again, sounds like the temple in Jerusalem, didn't it? That physical temple. Because it was patterned after the spiritual one. And 12 angels at the gates. So, showing you can only come in unless you're allowed to. And the names are written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. And the 12 apostles were given a lot of authority in this area too. 3 gates on each side, north, east, west. Okay, now, I'm not going to read all of that. But this is sort of an example of it. I don't know if you can see it or not. Let's see the gates. Maybe 3 on each side. There's 4 sides. So you'd see that. Now listen to how big this thing is. You have all the gates in the city. Now verse 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So they were already, that foundation is set. And he who talked with me had a golden reed measuring the gates and so forth. And the city was laid out in a square. It had a length as great as its breadth, so it was square. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. Now, we'll see here from a modern translation here. To a great and high mountain showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Whoops. And I had him up, well, I didn't bring it with me. Let's see, just 1 second, I forgot. Okay, a furlong, is about 1,380 miles. 1,380 miles. So, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 of those. It's a big city. But you can't get into the city unless you're allowed in. You can't get allowed in unless you have proper fellowship. Because when you enter into that city, everybody there is of the same mind, the same spirit. You see? Of course, we'll all be spirit beings at that time. And anybody else, again, it all starts with coming to fellowship. That's again, 12,000 furlongs. So that's roughly 1,380 miles. I don't know if they had to sign an environmental impact statement, but there you go. And that's what he saw. And he's saying, look how massive this is. And you think David's temple was impressive, or Solomon's temple was impressive, or the second temple. Look at this. But you can't get in there unless you're in fellowship with God. You can't get in there unless you have the proper fellowship with his family. And that's why we see in Revelation 3, verse 12, those who overcome will be made pillars in my temple forever. So we're going to be pillars. I don't know where, but we will be, in other words, key structural individuals to make sure that God's government is run correctly. And it all because we have fellowship, relationship, companionship, communion with God and with each other. Again, this Greek word, we start out talking about that. You have a social intercourse, communion, distribution, fellowship. We've sort of talked about that. Just to hit that point again, we are a community. We're a family, a community of believers who have all these things in common. But that's just another way of saying we have fellowship one with another. And if you've ever known anybody who maybe was with us at one time and then they just went back out in the world, and you're trying to talk to them and trying to find some kind of common ground, it's really difficult. Because they don't have anything in common anymore. They forgot almost everything they ever knew. They forget quickly. So, maybe you didn't realize how much It means to, the word fellowship means. But we are to enter fellowship, and God wants us to learn the mystery of what it means to enter that fellowship. And part of that is being here and expressing our being as, together as a community, expressing our love and concern for each other. Yeah. Oh, and speaking of that, because I didn't write it down, I think we you already know Barb is doing better. I heard, was it Dan? Did you say that? Barb is doing better? I talked to her too, and I forgot to tell you. But she was paying bills yesterday, so I imagine she said, I have a pain. I said, that's not the bills. No. I didn't tell her that, but that, if she does have a pain, it's because of the bills. But she's doing better, and if, I think if you just take it easy, she'll probably be all right. And we're looking forward to that. But see, she's part of our community. She may not be here, but she's still part of the community. She's in our fellowship. And we have fellowship one with another and with Jesus Christ and God the Father due to the calling that He shared with us. So take these moments that we have here at church, other times when maybe you're with other believers, and use them in a way that will glorify God and further His plan.